Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you on this getaway. Good Friday, 2024, March the 29th, 17 minutes past the hour. And we've got Mike Wilson and Matt Morgan live with us in studio. But before we go back to them, we've got somebody joining us. Very short amount of time here because this person is extremely busy. But we did this news story earlier this morning, but I'm going to read it again because after news and weather, people might have tuned in here. Former President Donald Trump is now selling Bibles as he runs to return to the White House. Trump, who became the presumptive Republican nominee earlier this month, released a video on his Truth Social platform on Tuesday, urging his supporters to buy the God Bless the USA Bible, which is inspired by country singer Lee Greenwood's patriotic ballad. By the way, Lee Greenwood has been on this show. Trump takes the stage to the song each time he appears at a rally, and he has appeared at Greenwood events. Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again as we lead into Good Friday and Easter. I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible, Trump wrote, directing his supporters to the website selling the book for $59.99. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book, Trump said in the video posted on Social Truth. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Billing itself as the only Bible endorsed by President Trump, the New Ventures website calls it easy to read with large print and slim design that invites you to explore God's Word anywhere, anytime. Besides a King James Version translation, it includes copies of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Pledge of Allegiance, as well as a handwritten chorus of the famous Greenwood song. And now joining us via telephone on this Good Friday, former president, presumptive nominee for the Republican nomination for president, the man himself, Donald Trump. President Trump, how are you?
Good morning. I should say Good Friday morning. Good Friday morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, President Trump?
Well, you know, I feel fantastic. I feel very biblical today because, you know, the Bibles are doing very, very well. It's the highest rated Bible in the history of Bibles, which I think is tremendous. And Lee Greenwood, who you mentioned, he came out with this about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a dud. It was a dud, but I love Green. I love Lee, and he said, would you partner with me on this? And I said, absolutely, and now the sales are through the roof, and I love the fact that he has inserted me into the Bible. I always wanted to be in the Bible. Now I am in the Bible, which I think is fantastic. And you mentioned that our philandering founding fathers, they had some key documents in there. We got the Big League Constitution, A number one. I love the Constitution. It's very constitutionalish in its constitutional way that it's constituted, which I think is very important when it comes to constitutions. We have the best constitutions. And as you know, I'm fighting for our Constitution every single day when I'm golfing. And by the way, for the 39th year in a row, I won the club championship at all of my golf courses. Can you believe this? I mean, what are the odds of me winning? I'm so tremendous. I'm so good at what I do. It's really, really incredible. We're going to be updating the Bible every year, so you'll have all of my scores of all of my, you know, fantastic rounds, because next year will be 40 years. And I think there was a flood or something, the 40-year flood. I don't know, but it's great. We also have the Bill of Rights in there. It's so important, the Declaration of Independence. And did you know, Scott, because you're a smart guy. You're a smart guy. Did you know they're two separate documents? Did you know that? No one talks about that. It's absolutely incredible. Of course, we have the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance. We have the lyrics, like you said, to God Bless the USA by the great Lee Greenwood. You know, it's funny with Lee. He only has one song. He only works one day a year, 4th of July. He's booked like crazy, but only on that day. We had to add in so many other things. We had to cut out a lot of the Bible to fit in all those other documents. Of course, there's a copy of art of the deal in this new Bible. We cut out all the boring parts of the Bible. Not the boring parts. You don't need all that stuff. You know, but it's very important to me. And as you know, I have many, 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 many Bibles. I mean, I think they're Bibles. They look like Bibles. They're leather bands. I'm assuming they're Bibles. But I'm so, so happy because, as you know, under Biden, you're not allowed to have Bibles. It's illegal. And all of the churches have been closed under Biden and Obama. And you're not allowed to pray. It's illegal to pray. So we're going to bring back praying. We're going to make America pray again because, as you know, right now, you can be arrested for praying under the Obama-Biden administration. And all Americans need a Bible in their home. Like I've said, it's my favorite book right behind Art of the Deal. And I always said, I've said this on the show, as soon as they put me in the Bible, it'll be my favorite book. And now it is. And we're selling them like hotcakes. Believe me.
Oh, President Trump. You know, I don't even know where to go with that.
We're very blessed to be selling these Bibles. It's incredible.
Okay, so it's good.
And for an extra $50, we can engrave your name in gold. And God loves gold.
So it's going to be...
I think that's actually in the Bible. And, you know, it's funny because I'm very much like Christ. I'm not going to say I'm Christ. I don't want to get in trouble. But I'm being persecuted and prosecuted. And I think a lot of Americans can relate how we are so similar. You know, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, and this is true. I'm not just saying this to sell more Bibles. But my father, Frederick Trump, do you know his middle name?
I do not.
You can look it up. His name is Christ.
I did not know that.
Look that up.
I'll look that up.
I am not kidding. You can look that. Go on the Google machine. Look that up. His middle name is Christ. So I'm the son of Christ.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. You know, well, we've got our crack researchers here working on this right now, President Trump.
It takes 30 seconds to look it up.
We're going to look it up. We're going to get it done. President Trump, for people who say this is not about Holy Week, this is not about Easter, this is not about Good Friday, this is about you funding
your debt. It is, in fact, Frederick Christ Trump Jr.
Oh, well, there he was. The fact checker's in.
Yeah, I don't, you know me, I don't lie. I'm the most honest person in the history of honesty. In fact, I am the cover person on Honesty Magazine this month. So I think that's tremendous.
President Trump, for people who say you're doing this just to raise money because you have some bills to pay right now in court costs, what do you say to those people?
They're 100% right. And also, timing is everything. You know, what's wrong with selling a Bible? Everyone gets upset. They say I'm like a... somebody said to me, some left-wing, Antifa, communist, Marxist, communist said, sir, if you were really a billionaire, you'd be giving away Bibles. Who the hell gives away Bibles? You know what I'm talking about? Other than the church and hotels and freebible.com and about 10 other organizations. But I'm not going to give them away. I'm a capitalist. And what better way to make money than with our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who this weekend rose from the dead and looked around for Easter eggs and chocolate.
Oh, President Trump. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be a fun ride up to November 5th this year. I think it's the 5th.
President Trump, I hate to bring up some sad news here, but you have to pay very quickly, you know, over $100 million. You got the bond lowered in New York, but you haven't come up with it.
Part of the deal. Part of the deal, Scott. They wanted $454. I got them down to $175.
You got them down to $175. You certainly did.
$175. And I got that in spades because, as you know, you follow the news. I made $3 billion this week from the SPAC. You know what a SPAC is?
No, I don't.
I don't know either, but I made a lot of money on it, so I just like saying SPAC.
There you go. You got the
it's
money.
It's a special purpose. It's like an IPO. But it's a SPAC. It's a different thing. But I made $3 billion, and my wonderful MAGA maniacs have put in a lot of money to buy this stock for a company that's lost $50 million. So I think we're going to do very, very well. Very well.
President Trump, final question here today on this Good Friday, and thank you so much for joining us. I know you're very, very busy.
Scott, you've been with me from the beginning. You're one of the first people who reached out to me, back in 2015, 2016?
Yes.
So I have, you know what? I'm very loyal. No one's loyal to me, but I'm very loyal.
You certainly are. You stick with people till the end. Now this.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always say about Rudy. Right till the end.
End with Rudy. And the end has come, has it not?
The end has come with Rudy.
Yes, it has. This is the only Bible endorsed by President Trump. Some people have.
Exactly. All the other Bibles are crap. Except this Bible.
Okay. People have a problem with that, President Trump, because I don't know that anybody's ever endorsed the Bible, a politician.
You see that? I'm always the first at something. If you don't own this Bible, you're going straight to H-E double hockey sticks.
Okay. Well, that clears it all up. So, not about money here.
And by the way, $59, give me a break, that's nothing. Come on, folks, cobble it together, send the money in, Lee Greenwood will get that book out to you, and 6 to 8 months. And by the way, Lee does all of the packing, shipping. They call that fulfillment. I never heard that word before. But now everyone's saying fulfillment. And they're also saying supply chain. I never heard of these things. But now everyone says them.
President Trump, do you have an Easter message on this Good Friday for our audience before we let you go?
Absolutely. And it's very, very godlike, very Christ-like. To all my losers and haters, all of you Marxist, communist, socialist, Antifa-loving people who want to bring this country down, happy Easter.
Well, President Trump, if that didn't say Easter, I don't know what does. President Trump.
Nothing else will.
Hope those Bible sales continue well. That's very great. And happy Easter, President Trump, and best
happy
of luck.
Happy Easter. I love the Easter Bunny. Probably of all the bunnies, it's the greatest bunny. Well, other than Bugs Bunny, but the Easter Bunny is very good.
And we got to mention very quickly, we're just having fun here with this story pre-Easter. This is John D. Domenico, who has been with us so many since 2015, portraying President Trump.
It's been a long run.
You've been here on election night. You've been here with us in moments like this, and you have also been on Howard Stern
Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Kimmel, Fox News, Red Eye when it used to be on. So I play both sides, folks. I'm not partisan.
When I read this story on Tuesday, I thought, boy, John's got to be all over this one.
Well, I have to tell you something. This is no joke. And the Sun in England did a story about 6 months ago. I've predicted 5 things, and they were verified, that I used to say. Like, I used to say the Kung Flu from Wang Chung. I started that in March of 2020. Trump started saying it in June. So we have 5 instances where I said something, and then Trump started saying it. I have been talking about this for 3 years, a Trump Bible.
So when it came to pass, even though you had predicted it, what'd you think?
I said I knew it because as a comedian, you want to be ahead of the character you're playing. You want to be ahead of the news. Everything I've ever talked about, he has caught up to me. And I'm running out of things to get ahead of him on.
Oh, John, here we are in election year. Do you have any prediction for what's going to happen this year?
You know, I have to say this. Back in 2016, I was crisscrossing the country. I was literally on the road every single day on the run-up to the election. I had a very clear indication that Trump was going to win. And I have connections with Slate. I was doing a show for Slate. I was also doing a show with the New York Times and working with a writer with the Washington Post on a book. And I would say, you know, especially the New York Times, because they were tracking it, and I would say, Trump's going to win. And they would say, no, that's not our information. And I said, Trump is going to win. I'm not saying this because I perform as him. I'm saying this because I'm on the road, and I'm meeting these people, and there's a lot of secret Trumpers, people even told me, they're like, my wife hates you. They would say, I almost had Avatar, but my wife hates you, but I'm voting for you. And I heard that a lot. I also got some other indications from, and this is not a joke, from Mexican housekeepers from all over the country telling me, they go, Mr. Trump, I love you. And I would say, you love me? Because I'm walking out of my hotel room, going down to a ballroom to perform. And I was shocked. It was very counterintuitive. And every time I ran into another counterintuitive situation, it was another data point. And I don't see that this year. What I see, and I'm on the road again, and I'm actually doing pro-Trump stuff, and RNC stuff, and DNC stuff. And it seems like a dead heat this year.
Mm.
And there isn't any kind of like additional insight. People are very dug in. If they're voting for him and if they're voting for Biden, or just essentially not voting for Trump. So at this point, it's a dead heat. It's really going to come down to the number of voters who get out in every town, in every district, in every county that are going to decide this particular election.
If the election were held today, in this dead heat, who do you think would pull it off?
I honestly say I don't know, because if you look at the economy, and if you look at, you know, 15 million jobs, the economy itself, the stock market's exploding, CEO pay is through the roof, all of those usual indicators would say Biden, just based on the numbers. But Trump is so, he's very good and very incisive about undermining anybody's accomplishments that aren't his. So, it would come down to, I would probably say at this point, it would probably be Trump, just based on like a very thin margin.
Do you think RFK and the third parties are going to hurt Biden? That's a big question right now.
I honestly don't think so, because I think people are smart enough, the people who are voting for Biden, they can see he's a Trojan horse. And that he doesn't really, and especially now that he has his VP, who was his single largest donor, I don't think he has the credibility at this point. I know there's people who say anybody but these two, meaning Biden and Trump. And I would understand if RFK really was able to articulate his position, but he seems to flip-flop on a lot of stuff. And also, I watched him on a podcast interview because I really wanted to, sincerely, like, hey, what's this guy about? Because he cleaned up the rivers in New York. He's, you know, an amazing environmentalist. But I watched him get very flustered with a podcaster. And I thought, wow, he doesn't really have the temperament to... It's one thing if you're on the podcaster, then if you're on Fox News and if you're on CNN, and if a podcaster can fluster you, anybody's going to be able to fluster you. Yeah. And I've noticed he doesn't really have the temperament to run as to be a president of the United States. He also doesn't have the infrastructure with all of the people you need. It's very nice to have a third party in this country. We're a two-party system, obviously. But to have a third-party person, you need an infrastructure of people in every key department. So if you, by a miracle, did win, you could actually, run the country. I don't see him having that. I don't see him having the temperament. And as a person who had a, you know, who does impressions and does voices and is a comedian, it's very difficult to listen to him.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
The way he speaks.
Yeah. John, I want to mention this before we let you go. And again, I thank you so much for getting up early. And
mention all my social media.
Yeah, that's exactly. We got to do it. Well, yes.
And by the way, every Friday I do a live Trump press conference, 10 a.m. Pacific time. It's on my YouTube channel and on TikTok. I've got 6 million people on TikTok. 105,000 on YouTube, but it's live. You can ask questions. I welcome Trump people, Biden people, RFK people. We have a lot of fun. All the questions are answered in real time.
And that comes up at 1 o'clock today, 10 a.m. Pacific?
Yep,
Hey, there
exactly.
you go.
Just and log into my channel on YouTube. It's a blast. We do it for 1 hour. Everyone has a great time.
John DiDomenico. And what I got to say here is the first time John was on, which I believe was in late summer 2015. This is a year before the 2016 election. John came on, and I don't remember what happened, but I did not mention his name. And I did. And usually you don't have to with somebody doing an impression or an impersonation because people know it's not that person. And we got calls of people who said you had President Trump on, so or at that time Donald Trump on, so we had to go back, and every time now I have to mention it, not that I wouldn't, but because it was so good, and it is still so good, so I thank you so much, John.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
Scott. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be on.
Stay well. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Have a great weekend, and happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Well, again, just having some fun here this morning. John's been on many times on the program. Nothing political about that. Pastor Craig is joining us here today. Now, this is interesting because right off this story here, I think you read the story there. Had you heard of this, Pastor Craig? I think this would be your wheelhouse here.
Well, no, I hadn't heard of it. Admittedly, I've been on the road the last 2 weeks, and so not catching a lot of news, so I had not heard about this.
Now that you have, what do you make of this? And again, I do not believe this is a political story. I believe this is an Easter story, much like pita and the potatoes. I believe this is, if this were Biden doing this, we'd be having the same conversation. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, there's a lot of mega church pastors that have their own edition of the Bible. You know, you can buy David Jeremiah's study Bible, and you know they put other things in there. You know, their things that they want to say or their guidelines on how to use the Bible and stuff like that. So it's not unusual to have somebody's Bible. I will admit that this is probably the first and only politician that's ever had one, but you know, it doesn't bother me.
Well, I guess what the problem I have heard, and not just Democrats, and it's not that group just attacking this, what I have heard from people who like Trump is that the two points that they don't like about this are, number one, he's making money off of this. And he's making money off people's religious beliefs, not as a person who deals in. He's not a preacher. He's not a pastor. He's not that. Number one, that. And number two, the phrase of, this is the only Bible endorsed by President Trump, as if all other would be wrong. And by a politician. Because does this lead to the slippery slope? Because as we've talked about, this country would not elect an atheist president. And all presidents always send out thoughts and prayers when something bad happens, and they go to church during they speak at churches during their campaigns. So is this just another step further in using religion to raise money and, I guess, sell things?
I don't really have a problem with that. I don't really see that. I mean, every one of the pastors out there that's selling his version of the Bible, you know, he's making money off of it. You've got secular bookstores that sell Bibles. They're making money off the Bibles. And, you know, the statement in there, this is the only Bible endorsed by President Trump. I mean, that's you're going to expect him to say that, or expect them to say that. You know, to me, it's really not a big deal. It's really not a big deal.
And that's why I think it's not a serious story. I don't think you could treat this as a serious story, but I think it certainly is an interesting story to where we go from here in politics, because politics is certainly changing. And if things like this can happen, for the good or the bad, I think this is the watermark that we're not going to be able to knock somebody else if they do the same thing. And will they? It seems the way politics works.
Yep.
They probably will.
Yep. One thing you said, Scott, though, are you sure that he's getting any profits from this? We don't have that in this story. So if he's just endorsing it and not getting profits...
I believe it's in there somewhere.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe it's in there.
Am I supposed to be listening?
Yeah, you got to listen to the show. I'm almost certain that it is, because there are some paragraphs that I didn't read because it's a long story. But I'm certain that it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? People have now sold mugshots. That's never happened before. It's the way it is.
It says in there that the company that's handling that is paying him licensing and endorsement fees.
Okay.
So there you go. Now, does that change anything for you?
It does. I don't think... I mean, but you had a good point, too. I mean, you go out to Ollie's, they've got a whole section on Bibles. Different places are selling
them. They're making
them.
Money off of
sure.
them.
Sure. And they have to recoup the cost of producing it, shipping it, and so on. Yeah. So... But I don't think he really needs the money. just saying.
Well, does anybody understand why the money has not been paid for the bond?
Well, I mean, so I was looking...
It's been lowered by nearly half.
Well, I mean, but I mean, still, I was watching this video, which was basically, it just took everything that... It was just, like, adding up all of Trump's legal fees combined. And, like, right now, he's at, like... I want to say one and like three quarter, like 1.7, like 750 billion, but I can't quote the 750 for sure, but I do know it's over at least like 1.4 billion. So he's at over 1.4 billion in legal fees. So it's not like, oh, he can't pay that 172. He's already at 100 and like $1 billion in legal fees.
Was he given a deadline to?
I'm sure the new date, they lowered it in the appeals court.
They lowered it, and then they gave him a 10-day extension.
10 days, and we're getting there, because that was Monday. Wasn't it lowered on Monday?
So we're halfway there.
That's what I'm saying. Why isn't it paid, I guess? I mean, but see...
Because he's got 10 days.
And this started on Tuesday.
Right, so he's got
10 days. It's just a question. But if you were going to sell Bibles for Good Friday and Holy Week,
right.
Wouldn't you start in the beginning of March and not the last 5 days? The day after your bond is lowered? I asked the same question about City Hall, though, and a lot of questions this morning.
I don't know. I mean, how soon before St. Patrick's Day do you start selling green beer? I don't know.
Well, we get out those shamrocks right after Valentine's Day. It's more than a week, I'll say that. Okay. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Pita in the potato roll. What do you think? Preach their own again.
It's one of those things I couldn't care less.
Well, I mean, isn't this the world we're in, though?
That's the world we're in, but I mean, you're going to roll eggs, you're going to roll potatoes, who cares?
I just, as I was saying with Mike and Matt earlier on, is that I just don't think people get with PETA, and I think I felt this on the Groundhog story, is that they charge PETA as being insignificant or stupid, but... They're honest in what they believe, right. And I don't think you should attack somebody for being earnest in what they believe. At least they're not coming on spewing nonsense. So if you find it foolish, okay. So the question was, why do we hang with tradition so often? Bunnies don't lay eggs, and the Easter Bunny is not what this is about anyway. So what is this? Why do we stick with groundhogs that predict the weather and bunnies that lay eggs and these interesting things? Now, you can do them if you want. Nobody's saying stop doing them. But why do we feel such an affront when a group comes after those?
I don't know. I think the reason we stay with the traditions, and honestly, some of them are kind of ridiculous, but we stay with the traditions just because as human beings, we like those kinds of things. I mean, you know, there have been, you know, festivals and ceremonies and celebrations for thousands of years. It's just something we as people do.
People are creatures of habit. And right, we've now been, like, programmed to this for, like, thousands of years, and all of a sudden they're just going to switch it up?
Right, but I guess the point is here, nobody can come in your house and tell you not to have an Easter egg hunt. Nobody can tell you not to have the Easter bunny on your property.
I think your former caller would disagree. He would tell you that Biden's coming into your house.
I did not realize praying was outlawed. I did not realize you could be arrested for that now.
And all the churches have been closed.
And all the churches have been closed. It's very, very interesting what's happened in this world. Holy mackerel. But I guess I don't... See, this is what I never understood about the statue thing. I thought that was almost the same argument that we're having here. Okay, listen, what they were doing was taking the statues down in public property, on public taxpayer property. If you want to put up a statue of Robert E. Lee on your lawn, nobody's going to stop you if you own the land. No private business is going to be stopped from doing that if you own the land. So if we are really so affronted by these statue things, just move it over to private land and do it. But nobody does it. Why don't they?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody really has the money to buy a statue off
the
city.
They'd probably give them the statue they'd take down if they wanted it.
You think the city would just be like, oh, yeah.
If they asked, I think they would.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think the thing is that people are tired of people trying to erase history. Whether history's good or bad, I think we need to remember what has happened.
If I asked 50 people right now who Robert E. Lee was, do you think 49 of them would even have the clue who I'm talking about?
I think a lot of people would be able to tell you who Robert E. Lee was.
I will take that. Half would not. Not even half. But if you tell them his statue's being torn down, they tell you it's wrong. All 50 of them. Right. That's the problem I have with it. At least know the story before you get so angry about what's going on.
I disagree with you on that. I think most people that protest that do know who Robert E. Lee is or was.
But, okay, so here's the thing. A lot of those statues, and I can't go by one, but we can look these up, and this is the fact I never hear on any news report, so we can fault the media for this. A lot of those statues, they say, well, they've been there since the Civil War. No, they haven't. They were put up in the early 1900s against slavery. So when you say it's not linked to slavery, it was exactly linked to slavery in the South. That's why most of those statues are in states that were pro-slavery. They put them up. Robert E. Lee was dead when most of these statues were put up.
That's the problem with most things that people protest against. They don't know the history.
Right, and the Confederate flag in South Carolina, when that whole thing, and that was a big story at the time. Well, it's been there since the Civil War. No, it was the 1900s they decided to start flying that again because it was their way of saying, we don't believe in abolishing slavery. We do not believe in the Emancipation Proclamation, so this is our protest. So at least know what you're talking about. So when people say, well, that's not about race, that's about honoring those Civil War people, no, it wasn't, in the most case. It just wasn't. I mean, that's just the fact.
True.
Yeah, so why not? Are people going to forget them? See, I don't understand that erasing history argument either, because they don't have, who goes and visits these statues anyway? Christopher Columbus is on the State House lawn. I didn't see anybody there visiting him.
On which State House lawn?
Columbus.
Christopher Columbus was not on the State House lawn. He was in front of Columbus City Hall.
City Hall.
And they took him down.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the State House?
No, he was
no.
in front of Columbus City
Where did
Hall.
I see him? Because we went and did the thing. I know we did an interview in front of the statue. Where was that? Maybe in City Hall. Where's City Hall at?
Haven't they removed that one?
They removed that one, yeah. City Hall is like about four blocks away.
Hold on, I'm going to check, because I know that I was down there.
When was this interview?
It was during the pandemic.
Okay.
Let me see. Because there's video. I remember, because there's a big statue out front of, who's out front?
McKinley's out front.
McKinley.
He's at the State House.
Yeah, and he's right in the front of the State House.
Right.
Right. And Christopher Columbus is up to the right.
I
almost will bet on this one. Yes, that is where we were, the State House. Yes, Christopher Columbus is right over here.
Well,
there he is, right there. Right there.
That's not Christopher.
That's Christopher Columbus.
That's not Christopher Columbus.
Let me just look it up here.
That's a sergeant with the Highway Patrol.
I'm about to be right here, folks. Hold your breath. Right there.
Well, you know what? I wasn't aware of that.
There he is.
There he is. Now, that is a much smaller statue than was down at City Hall, Columbus.
That's
City
very
Hall.
Big. I've stood in front of that. I mean, this is 6 foot tall here, this part
right.
below it.
So that statue itself is probably 6 or 8 feet tall.
Yep, and there's the State House.
And they had a much bigger one at Columbus City Hall, and that's what was on the news. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, that is still there.
I stand corrected.
So I guess the point of me saying that, how many people have been down to visit this? Not too many, because they don't even know it's there.
Obviously, I didn't.
Sorry. So, you're with a whole lot of other people.
Right.
So again, my point is, who's going down to visit these things?
All the Japanese tourists.
That's about it. It's like Harding. Who goes and visits the Harding home? Everybody from out of town. That's about like it.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. What do you think, Matt? Isn't that true, though?
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think...
We protest these things, but we don't go down.
Can anybody name any of the other statues besides McKinley and Columbus that are at the State House?
Those are the two I remember.
Now, they do have... I can name one additional one. They have a statue of Governor Rhodes.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
I did not see that
yes.
one.
And that was put up, like, not long after he left office.
Really? Where's that one at?
It's off... It's around... When you were looking at the State House, it's around on that left side.
The left side?
Yeah.
Over, like, to the Ohio Theater?
Yes.
Yeah, in that area?
Yep.
Yeah. I knew I'd been down there, and it was there last time I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's video. Go online, search Scott Spears at the State House, and you'll see the Christopher Columbus statue.
You know, with all this AI technology, that
could be AI'd in.
That could be faked.
Yeah, I know. Very well, good. But you know what? Columbus is an interesting one, though, because the argument against Columbus is not anything racial. The argument against Columbus is we told the wrong story, and we now know that it is the wrong story. So should we honor somebody who didn't do exactly what they said they did?
No.
There you go. And I think that's probably right in a lot of cases. But Matt, or Mike, Matt, do you have any different opinion on that? And then we'll come to Mike.
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know about...
1492, but, Columbus.
The ocean blue?
Yeah, but did he? We don't know. He was in the water.
He found somewhere. I don't remember.
He thought he was in the Indies.
Yeah, that's why we called the Native Americans Indians, because we thought we were in India, but we were not.
And people argue that point. Well, why can't we use the term Indian? Well, look at how we came by the term Indian. It wasn't...
What term do you want to use? I mean, you know, you've got terms that we use... over hundreds of years.
I mean, we call the Native Americans Native Americans, but if you go over to like Australia, their native populace people, they're called aboriginals.
I think it was because the Caucasian man came and didn't even know where he was, so he named these people whatever he wanted to. He did, you know, I think that's the bad connotation behind it.
So instead of naming them Indians because he thought he was in India in the Indies, what should we have named them?
It's interesting that
should we have named them North Americans?
Did we?
I don't know. I guess that it caught on to such a great term.
Should we have named them Redskins?
No, but I wonder what they had to call themselves something.
They had tribe names.
They had tribe names.
Right.
They called themselves the different tribe names.
So the fact that we just lumped them all in because this guy thought he was in the West Indies.
So what are you going to do? You just say, refer to them as one of many various tribes of people.
No, I think that that's about as logical as Indians when you think about it.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
so what do you call them?
You got to call them something.
Well,
you see,
I mean, like, we called them Indians because, I mean, as the story goes, at least, I mean, obviously we weren't there, we can't fact check it, but, like, we thought we landed in India, so it just made sense to refer to them as Indians.
So.
We thought they were Indian people.
Right, but if it's like me coming in finding your living room and saying, putting a flag there and saying, get out, pigeons, and then you just call you pigeons for the rest of your life.
No, because my house is not a pigeon coop. We thought we landed
in
India.
No, it is, because, listen, I came in and I found your living room. Nobody had found that. You just happened to be there, pigeon. That's pretty much what happened here.
No.
And actually, I think I'm in my house, but I found your living room, so it's mine.
So so the white man comes over, he finds these people, he's got to call them something.
It's not even about the white man, to be honestly here. Listen, it's just me coming over to your house. I forgot where I lived. I came in, you're there. But it's my house now. Get out, pigeon. And that's pretty much how that story goes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's my house now, get out. No.
Well, he certainly wasn't welcoming to them. He wasn't, you know, is this your land, folks?
He raped, murdered, and stole from a whole bunch of indigenous people.
Which is another
part of that story.
By the way, we'll talk about that term, indigenous people.
Well, but now, see, we've had to adjust that so many times. But I do think there probably is some... I don't think the anger's coming from anybody but the Native American people. I think they did not like it because it was completely...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could take a poll of the Native Americans for that, and actually, I would hope you did, because, like... Like they got rid of like the Redskins NFL team. They're no, like, now they're the Commanders, and they took a poll in Native American communities, and the large majority of Native American communities actually would rather the Redskins still be a team because it was a representation of their culture and the biggest sport in American history right now.
But doesn't that make some sense though? I'm saying some of them did have a reddish skin to them, so even that makes more sense than Indian. This is just because the guy didn't know how to navigate. He didn't know where he was.
So Scott, bottom line. What word would have made you happy us to call those people?
I'm just saying, if I say you have blonde hair, that is accurate. If I want to call you Blondie, it's not your name, but it is accurate. Indian is not accurate in any way. If he thought he'd circled back to Brittany to call the Britons, and that's what they would be.
So what is he supposed to call this large group of people that he's encountering? I mean, he's not encountering one person that they can call him Blondie or whatever.
Well,
he's got this people. So what is he collectively supposed to refer to these people?
Well, I guess that's it's an interesting question, because down through history, much like the Vikings and much like other...
Why do we call them Vikings?
Exactly. Why do we?
What did they call themselves?
Good question. That's why is this term seen as a rougher term than other? Maybe because we didn't take the Vikings' land.
So in terms of taking the Vikings' land,
we're going to take your land, change your name, and
I would like to argue.
I don't know.
I would like to argue that the Native Americans were fighting and killing each other for land before we got here, and then we got here, and we just kind of kept on the tradition of fighting and stealing land. So we just kind of had better guns.
That's something that's happened all around the world.
I hate to say it. Throughout history.
Well, this is quite the history lesson this
got
morning.
People invading other people, taking their land.
They wanted the game. They wanted the land. They were like, we want that. And then they went and took it.
This was one time out of many hundreds of thousands of times. Why is the problem?
But this is not where... I don't think he knew where he was.
It doesn't matter. He had to call him something.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, I guess. Call him whatever.
Why couldn't he gone back to Queen Isabella and said, these are the inhabitants of this land.
Oh, yes, he also stole some people. I felt the need to throw that in there. He brought some back. You see these? They're over there. All of them.
And they want to work for you.
I guess the point is, this is not probably who you want to be naming you for everybody else throughout history, is what they're saying.
Okay.
We don't like this guy.
Okay.
He's not our guy.
I mean, we don't like a lot of people all throughout history.
Well, no, but I don't think that people who dislike a group are naming them for the rest of time in memoriam.
Well, I mean, okay.
Like, I don't think we would go around calling people Nazis now, because that became a bad term.
Well, we definitely still call people Nazis.
Here's the thing.
In terms of, like, we still call people fascists.
But they're not.
And I don't even think fascism truly exists anymore.
But this was a group of people that the rest of the world didn't know about. So it's a first-time encounter or an earlier encounter, so you got to call them something. To put it in today's term, where are you going to go to encounter some people that have never been encountered before?
Right. Yes, I agree with what you're saying. I guess what I'm just saying here is that he named them based upon misinformation on his behalf.
Okay.
I don't think
a mistake.
Right. And I don't think he came up with that term as a derogatory term. I think he thought he was in the West Indies.
Right.
So I think it's just more of a correction on their behalf.
But don't tear his statue down just because he called them wrong.
Oh, no, I don't think that's why the statue wanted to come down. I think the statue is about the pillaging and the raping that part of
and
it.
And the kidnapping.
Yeah, and the kidnapping. I think that's where that's coming from. You got 1 minute, caller. Go ahead.
All right. When was the New World really developed?
I don't know.
It was after Columbus. They say and if you go through history, it'll be pre-Columbian and post-Columbian. It was the Age of Exploration. So 1492, with his voyage to the New World, that is when you started development.
Is he a good guy? Is the question here?
Well, how do you gauge good guy? If you say that, then give Istanbul back to the Romans.
Well, I don't think we say murderers are good guys.
Well, I mean back what? In the day, kind of thing.
Let him be. I don't know. You know what? He's fine. It's okay. I mean, I don't have a personal.
Can't discount the fact that that is an accomplishment. So to say Leif Erikson and the Vikings, you know, actually discovering, you know, North America, you know, 4 centuries prior. Yeah, but they didn't successfully, like, raise a colony here. It was Christopher Columbus.
I just think this falls in, oddly enough, to the conversation we've been having all morning about the Easter Bunny and about the groundhog that tells you the weather, is that people can be completely wrong, people can be completely misinformed, people can be completely fabricated, but because it's been that way, if Christopher Columbus came today and did that, we would look at him and say, you are terrible at your job. You don't know how to navigate. What are you doing? You couldn't find out where you
back.
Were.
Well, you see,
have you seen the size of, you know, his fleet? Those ships were tiny. And to sail off, you know, into the horizon off the west coast of Europe, not really knowing what you're going to encounter, get all the way to the Caribbean, and then to make it back, that's quite an accomplishment.
I think, and that's his accomplishment.
Exactly.
But that's not what we celebrate him for.
Well, to say discovering, yeah, I mean, what's discovery if you take 400 years and don't do anything in between?
I mean, we didn't know it was there, so he discovered it for European people.
Right, but he didn't know what he discovered.
Well,
I mean, he did when he got back.
Because he got back, and then he went
there
back
you go.
Again.
He was like, oh, wait a second.
But how long did this take? I mean, Christopher Columbus is going to be... I don't think you should change the name of a city, and I really don't care if the statues are there. I visited it. I knew it was at the State House. That doesn't bother me in any way. All I'm saying is I think, much like when we tell local Marian history, sometimes we change it a little bit to make it a little more flowery for people because that's what they want to hear, make it a little more entertaining, when it wasn't exactly that way. And I think to misinform is different than suggesting that we change. I think that's the problem. People don't want history changed, but they also don't want it corrected. So I don't, you know, I guess we're just going to be misinformed.
Well, I guess it comes down to, like, what your intent is in trying to do, you know, revisionism and purges of
But is revisionism correcting? Now, changing, I would call revisionism, but correcting, I don't think is revisionism.
Well, it depends on so much of history that we accept today, which has been revisionist. From prior sources, they go off. They're not going off of primary sources. They're going off of secondary sources.
We'll continue this at noon. Thank you,
right,
Mike, for coming in. I appreciate it. Pastor Craig's coming up next, and then we'll all be back at noon to have more fun. Mike, thanks for coming in.
All right.
Happy Easter.
Come. Oh, thank you, Adam. Thank you very much.
We are proud to present Magnificent Marian Moments. Charlie Evers is a Marian Broadcasting original. He created long-standing traditions such as the peanut push and Buckeye Chuck. Evers Arena at the